This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
So, hey, I'm going to jump right in and talk to you a little bit about our Easter story and a little bit about where we've come. We've been kind of on this journey of this, it's not over. We just believe that that's our theme for this week, it's not over. And you know, a lot can happen in a week. We even talked about it last week if you were here, but a lot can happen in a week. You're probably thinking about your week alone and go, man, how did all that happen in a week? And same thing for Jesus. You know, you see him at the beginning of this week that we celebrated where he comes in on a donkey and people are praising him and thinking he's Hosanna and saying wonderful things about him. And then we see other things happening, like he goes in the temple and he loses his temper and turns over tables. He curses a fig tree that dies. He takes opportunity to have communion with his disciples. He's in a garden where he's betrayed. He's arrested, unduly tried and convicted, beaten, hung on a cross, died for our sins, and then he brings us to this day where we celebrate that he is risen, that he's no longer in a tomb, but he is alive. He's resurrected, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for you and me. And it's a great story, and it's a great celebration. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm going to read out of the book of John. It's one of our gospels, and it'll be on the screen. But this is basically what John says in John chapter 19, verse 28. And it says this, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that everything was now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. A bowl of sour wine was placed there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop, and they held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. If you've never heard the Easter story before, I would suggest to you that the story could be summarized with those three words, it is finished. Maybe if you have been around the church for a while and you know about the story, it could never really be true until you've adopted those three words, it is finished. And in order to like appreciate the script, the significance of finished, like he uses these words, it is finished, sometimes we have to remind ourselves what it feels like to be unfinished, like to not be complete. I think sometimes we live life where we're just like, I don't know if I'm finished. I don't know if I'm complete. And some of us can't remember what that looks like because we think we are finished. Like, look at me. I'm that good. I am finished. And sometimes we have to be reminded of times in life where we are unfinished. And when we remember that, so that when we remember the times of what it's like to be unfinished, we can appreciate what Jesus meant when he said, it is finished. So I have some examples for us this morning to help you remember what it's like to be unfinished, right? The first is, how many of you can identify with the stress of being unfinished? Kind of like this picture right here. Anybody can identify with this stress right there, okay? If you know anything about that, right, this is an unassembled, unfinished chair. I also call it the devil's chair. And if you know anything, like furniture now, everybody know furniture rarely comes today assembled, right? They just send it to you in a box, expect you to figure it out, to assemble it together, and you're like, it's not finished. And they put all these things together, like you've seen them with like tons of screws, and they're like, you know, and all this hardware, and they're like, okay, so here you want to use A screw, number A, or letter A, and then you want to use letter B screw. But how many know letter A screw and letter B screw look exactly the same? You're like, I don't know. And instead of telling you how to do it nowadays, they send you with instruction with just pictures. Like, I don't know, can you just, the guy that designed it, can he show up and just fix it for me? Just do the work. It's a lot of stress when you aren't sure how it all goes together and somebody, some engineer who's smarter than you designed this whole thing. And you're like, man, I don't know. And for me personally, the stress of this is not so much putting it together, but the whole time I'm putting it together, I'm thinking to myself, if I don't do this right, guess what I got to do? Take it apart. And how many know those things are only designed for the screw to go in one time? Right? And I just think of the being unfinished. And I just want to compare the stress of being unfinished to the relief of being finished. When you finally get it, put it together, the chair together, maybe you look a little like this next picture right here, right? That's what you like. You're like, thank God, it's over. And the first question you're asking, when I see this picture, the first question I ask, why are there so many screws left over? I mean, they only give you enough, right, for that. That's the first question. And the second question is, if you just look closely, the chair, what's wrong with the chair? Like, it doesn't look right. But here's the real thing about this picture. Here's what I want you to understand. It's finished, it's just not perfect. It's finished, it's just not purchased. And that's the tough part about Jesus, because even though we choose to follow him, right, it doesn't mean that our life will go perfect. Doesn't mean your life will go perfect. You're still gonna have struggles. We still got sin. We still got worries. We still got insecurities. When he died on the cross, guess what? He didn't say it is perfect. He didn't say it is perfect. He said it is finished. And so I'm just grateful for a God who gives me time to get it together, who gives me time to put my life together, right? I'm not perfect, but before Jesus found me, my life was in pieces and he put me together. You may not be perfect, but you can be finished. You may not be perfect, but you can be finished. Then there's the stress of unfinished, right? There's the stress. There's also this weight of unfinished. It's like kind of this picture here reminds me of the weight of unfinished. And I don't know about you, some of you are in the room like, oh man, that looks fun. Like you know what, honey, I'm gonna go to the peak after church today and I'm gonna take on some weight. I don't know about you, but when I look at that, I get exhausted, right? I'm like, I'm tired. See, I've only been here for about, for those who are new, like I've been in Montana for about a year, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, I don't know, I lose count, but I'm somewhat new. And so I have these rite of passages that I've done in Montana. So on Friday, I checked another rite of passage and I went snowmobiling for the first time. And I'm like, they said this would be fun. They said, man, you're gonna have a blast on this thing, right? And I'm sitting here a mile into this, like stopping, trying to catch my breath. I'm sore up here this morning, y'all. You just don't know it, but I'm hurting. Like, the guy at our church, one of our board members, like he said to me on the snowmobile, he's like, all right, here's the rules. Number one, if you go to crash, the rule number one is protect yourself. But rule number two is protect the sled, all right? So these guys leave me and I tip this sled over by myself. They're gone. They don't care. They're like, whatever, we're having fun. Who cares about the pastor? He'll figure it out. And I tip this thing and I fall off. And the first thing that came to my mind was Dave's rules. Did I protect myself? Yes. Then I'm like, oh my gosh, the sled. And I'm like, trying to get this thing lifted over. And I'm like, oh, I'm never doing this again. So, man, there's got to be funner things. I was exhausted, right? The stress of the weight, the unfinished, right? Like when I look at those, I'm exhausted. And you set it up, you're tired. And before you even begin, life gets tired. But for me, when I see this picture, I think of the weight of our unfinished dreams. I think of the weight of things that you've yet to accomplish. I think of the weight of things that you've wanted to accomplish in your life, the weight of all the unfinished goals in your life. It's exhausting to even think about it. And then I compare it with the achievement of finishing something. Maybe when you finish the weight, it looks a little, maybe it looks more like this picture, right? Some of you can identify with that. That man is exhausted. And listen, forget chasing your dreams. Right? That's what a lot of us look like just trying to be good. Just trying to be a good person is exhausting. Is exhausted from trying to do good things, trying to make good decisions, trying to make good choices, trying to listen to the right voices in your, it is exhausting. And I'm just grateful for a God like this. You know that we talk about the cross, and in the typical Roman culture, it was never the guards who would always carry the cross. But in this particular case, unlike all the other criminals that were there with him and that had gone before him, Jesus had to carry his own cross. There was something that was about that. And I look at that and I think that whole carrying of the cross, that lifted weight, I think that's an image and a metaphor for you and me today. that you can stop trying to lift the weight of being great, because Jesus says, I was great for you. You can start lifting the weight of trying to accomplish things, because Jesus says, I've accomplished it all for you. Like, you can stop trying to carry this weight of righteousness and being good, because Jesus says, you'll never be good enough, but I'm perfect for you. I'm good enough for you. Jesus is saying, I can lift the weight what you can't lift. Then I think of the uncertainty of unfinished, right? The uncertainty of a finish. So, and I thought about that. It's not on the screen, but I brought a sheet of my son's math homework with me today. And he's like, Dad, look at my work. And he's like, can you do this? And I looked at the paper, and I looked right at the top, and it started this way. Refer to the figure to the right given DE and BC. And as soon as I saw letters, I said, that's enough. That's enough, right? Look at the paper. I'm like, I just stopped right there, right? In that moment, I saw it. And my son's probably like, can you do it? And I said, no. And I'm going to tell you, and he's like, why? And I'll give you two reasons why I can't do it. Number one, that's what your teacher gets paid for. That's what your teacher gets paid for. I pay your tuition. He does that job, all right? Number two, I said, I don't got to do it because I already did it. I did it when I was in 10th grade, right? Don't ask me how to do it now. I can't do it. I don't care. I don't have to, because I already did it. Come on, right? That's how snappy you can get. It was already done. I don't care how it turns out. I don't care how it works. It's already done. Listen to me. That's why I think sometimes we're exhausted and we feel unfinished, because we're trying to solve problems that were already solved 2,000 years ago. I'm just saying, you face some uncertainty in life right now. You've got problems you can't figure out. And Jesus reminds us on the cross, I've already solved all those things for you. You can chill out, right? Because it was finished. You don't have to solve what's already been solved. Sin was already solved. Pain was already solved. Uncertainty was already solved. You don't have to worry about it. And then finally, I think there's another part of this that's unfinished. And it's this guilt that we carry that's unfinished. Maybe some of you know what this is right here. I don't know. Maybe some in the room know what this is, all right? I don't know if anybody knows what this is before you, right? Raise your hand if you have no idea what this is. Come on, anybody? Okay, there's a few. All right, thank you. They're all 13, but that's all right. Just joking. Raise your hand if you've ever walked into a store like this before. Come on. All right. Everybody's with me, right? For those of you who don't know, right, we used to rent our videos and our movies. Like, we had to walk into a store. We didn't have them on demand on our phone or stream, right? So you would go to this particular store and you'd walk in. How many of you remember it was the highlight of Friday night, right, to go to Blockbuster? Come on, right? What are we going to watch tonight, right? And it was great, right? It was pretty cool. You could either watch it on a VHS. What is that? Or a DVD. You could watch it on that, right? And Blockbuster was actually pretty cool, because you could walk in and everything was categorized, like everything was in alphabetical order. And if you wanted to watch a show tune, or if you wanted to watch a Disney movie, if you wanted to watch a drama, or not a horror flick, we don't do that. But any of those things. But here's the thing. They had this one little thing that I hated, right? And you might know what I'm talking about, because some of y'all still owe them, all right? I'm talking about late fees. If you didn't bring your video back in a certain amount of time, you got charged $1 a day that it was late. $1 a day. And some of y'all still in Blockbuster's debt right now, right? Some of y'all owe them like $12,438 because you rented Titanic back in 2000 and you still haven't brought it back. Still haven't returned it. And in case you didn't know, though, Blockbuster went out of business, right? And when they went out of business, it was sad. It was sad for Blockbuster, but it was great for us, because CNN put out an announcement from Blockbuster that read this right here. Your late fees are waived. Blockbuster closes, right? That's a pretty good announcement for some of us that owed late fees. You don't have to be guilty anymore. You don't owe anybody anymore, right? I don't know if you can see where I'm going right here in Easter 2023, what I'm talking to you about. I mean, some of you are in the room today, and maybe it's been a long time since you've entered the church, and maybe some of you are really categorize yourself as CEO Christians, you know what I mean? Christmas, Easter only, right? And that's okay. We love you, and we're glad you're here, and God's glad you're here, and we're not here to judge. I'm just saying this fits everyone in the room, whether you're new or you're old. I think sometimes we feel like we owe late fees. We feel like, is there a penalty? But I'm here to tell you on Easter 2023, you need to know that when Jesus died on the cross, the old way of doing business is closed. When Jesus died on the cross, every late fee has been waived over your life. Every penalty has been paid. I'm just glad we're all here, and I know that God's glad you're here. And yet we can just rejoice on Sunday because we know that we can have a fresh start. No matter what, you know, you don't owe anybody anything. It's been waved over you. But this is the problems that many of us are living in: stress, living in the weight, we're living in the uncertainty and in the guilt of a life that just seems unfinished. My life just doesn't seem finished. And what you're going to find out today is that there are so many things that are heavy on your heart, but you don't have to carry those anymore. Those things are done. And the feelings you carry, the anxieties you carry, the stress that you carry, hear me this morning, it's already finished. And the feeling that you feel is because somebody told you that it wasn't done, or because you walk out of here and you think, well, it's not done. There's still things in my life. And listen to me, you're still living in an unfinished life that Jesus Christ finished for you on the cross. You're still living that way. And here's the message I think that God wants me to tell you today, that he's put on my heart, that he wants to show you today. The three words, it's not finished, or it is finished. For some of you have been holding on to stress in your life. You've been holding on to different things in your life. You're carrying stuff and you're worrying. It's not, the words I want to give you today, the three words is, it's not finished. The three words is, it's over now. It's over now. If you're familiar with the Jesus story, unfortunately, you may have heard that the whole thing of the cross was really the fact that Jesus died for our sins, and that's absolutely true. But if I was honest with you today, that's only part of the story. That's only part of the story of why Jesus went to the cross and why he ended up dying for you. So there's so much more to that moment that we have to understand. So for example, when I read to you this story, this was not the first time that Jesus was offered wine on the cross. This was not the first time he was offered wine on the cross. It actually was the second time that Jesus was offered wine on the cross. We see the first time in Mark chapter 15, verse 23, and it's on the screen, and this is what it says. It says, there on the cross, they tried to give him wine mixed with a drug called myrrh, and Jesus would not drink it. You say to yourself, well, what is myrrh? Myrrh is an ancient anesthetic. It's an ancient painkiller. And somebody had compassion while Jesus was on the cross, and they were like, they saw that he was going through this pain, and they're like, man, this is not good. Let's relieve him of the pain that he's experiencing on the cross. And so they tried to give him this myrrh. They tried to give him this painkiller, and Jesus literally rejects it. Why? I mean, is it like that Jesus enjoys pain? I mean, he was fully human. Of course not. Of course he didn't like pain. But Jesus needed to, and he wanted to feel every nail. Jesus needed to, and he wanted to feel every thorn. He needed and wanted to feel every bruised throb in his body. He wanted to feel every slice that was through his skin. He wanted to feel the pain because he did not just want to take up our sins on the cross. Hear me. He wanted to take up our pain on the cross. Our pain. He took up our hurt on the cross. And this is so important because, hear me, we live in a world now where honestly, sin is really a matter of opinion. I mean, in our world today, some people say, well, maybe sin exists, maybe sin doesn't exist. Some people say, well, this is a sin, but that's not a sin, and we begin to categorize. And I just think there's a road we all can agree on. Whether you believe sin is real or not, here's something that none of us can deny in the room. Not the sin in your past, but the pain of your past. So in other words, there might be somebody in this room who thinks they don't sin, but there's nobody in this room who has gotten through life that hasn't experienced pain. Every one of us at some point in life have experienced pain. And that's what you need to understand this morning. What I want to say to you is simply this: whatever happened, it's over now. Whatever happened to you, it's over now. I want to share a story with you that I'm kind of reluctant because I still have some trauma, but years ago when my kids were really young, I went to the, I was speaking at a camp in the country of Maine, and I was way up in Maine in this little place, Aroostook County, and it's like in the middle of nowhere, almost up to Canada, so we decided one day, we're there as speakers, and we took the kids, they were little, and they had this lake, this river out there by the camp, and they had these things, maybe you've never heard them before, they're called paddle boats, right? You heard of these? Okay, so you sit on them and you have to work, and you paddle them, and then you have a little steering thing here that steers you where you want to go. And so I thought, hey, we take the kids out to do this, and I thought I'd be adventurous and be a good father and, you know, say, hey, Kim, you don't need to go with us. I'll just take the kids. It'll be fun, and we'll have a good time. And so we got out there, and we realized that the paddle boat was more like a two-seater. And so I thought to myself, I'm like, Braden's really young. Rachel's obviously a little older. And I said, you know, I'll take Braden with me, and Rachel can drive one by herself. She's never been on one before, but hey, she's somewhat intelligent. And so I gave some instruction, you know, here's what you do, and here's, you know, here's how you paddle and you steer. And the last instruction was, if anything goes awry, you get, you know, something happens, just go to the shore. Just paddle yourself over to the shore. And so we get in these boats, and it wasn't long, I was out into the water and with my son Braden, and I realized something right away was wrong. Something I hadn't looked for before, and I realized that the paddle boat that I was in had a hole in it, and it was taking on water. Now, these ain't the most expensive things in the world. You do know that, right? So this thing had a hole. It's taking on water, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? And then while I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, trying to figure out what to do. I just look at my daughter, and as Braden and I start to sink, she just goes paddling by us. And she goes right away, and then there goes Rachel right past me. And I didn't account for a few things. I didn't account for that the river had a current. And I didn't account for I didn't teach her how to stop. And I didn't account for I didn't teach her how to do reverse. You know reverse, right? You pedal backwards. I didn't teach her any other thing. So all I see is I'm sinking, and my little girl on this thing by herself, paddling her little legs as fast as she can, steering this thing like this, gone. Just like gone around the bend. I'm like, oh my gosh, right? And not only did she pass us, but she went out of sight. Now I'm one parent, right? If there was two of us there, one I could say to my wife, hey, go get her or stay with the sinking one. I'll go get her. God bless you. But I'm one parent with two kids. One is sinking with me and the other one just went out of sight, gone. And so what do you do, right? I do what any parent would do. I start thinking to myself, who do I love more? Right? Who do you love more? Nah, that's not what I said. I actually asked myself, who has the better chance of taking care of me in retirement? That's who I'll stay with. So I knew I had to stay with Braden. He's like 4 years old, right? And so I literally did not see my daughter for 30 minutes. While I'm milking this sinking paddle boat back to shore, I'm teaching my four-year-old how to scream, Rachel, Rachel. We're like screaming for her. Finally, we get to shore. There's Kim, and she's with my daughter. She goes, did you lose our daughter? I'm like, yes. But I was more like, oh, thank God, you know. And so hear me this morning. For 30 minutes, I was freaking out. For 30 minutes, I was stressed. I was scared. I was hurting. I was in pain. And I wasn't the one who was lost. She was the one who was lost. She was the one who had lost control. She was the one who couldn't navigate and steer the boat. I hurt because I knew she was hurting. In fact, if you think about Isaiah 53:4, it kind of illustrates this. The whole thought of Jesus, it says this, but the fact is, it was our pain he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us, Jesus carried. He carried them. Jesus went through the pain because he loves you so much. Every time you had a failed relationship, Jesus was like, oh, that hurts. Every time that you lost a family member or someone close to you, he grieved. Every time that you walk through a difficult season, I think Jesus is like, that hurts. I feel that pain. And not only did he feel it, he actually physically endured it. when I got back with Rachel, I said, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. And I told her I was so scared and all these things. And when she knew that, what I had went through was what she went through. She realized she didn't go through this alone, even though she was alone. I wonder if that could change your idea of God today, that sometimes you say, I can't believe he allowed me. I can't believe God allowed me to go through that. But the truth is simply this, he went through that with you. He went through that with you. He was lost with you. He was abandoned with you. He was talked about with you. He was in pain with you. He was betrayed with you. He was gossiped with you. Because he loves you, your craziness, your doubt, your choices, all the things wrong with you, but he endured it. He endured it. All the things wrong with you. Now, I know somebody in here is probably thinking, well, that's really great. I appreciate that God walked through it with me. But if he was really God, why didn't he prevent it? Why didn't he prevent it from happening? And all I can say is you know what? Because that's not what good fathers do. That's not what good fathers do. Good fathers don't keep you from failing. They don't. In fact, failure is how we learn. You know what? Good fathers keep failure from defining you. They keep failure from defining. That's what good fathers do. So the next day at camp, I woke up and I looked at my kids and I said, y'all want to do those paddle boats again? And they're like, well. And I could see it in their eyes. I could see the trauma coming over them. But I said, here's what we did wrong, right? Should have checked the boat before we got in it. Should have maybe put Braden in between us. Maybe I should have taught you how to pedal backwards. You know, I could have, all these types of things. I went through the steps of what we learned. And you know what? We got back in those paddle boats again. And never had, for the rest of the week, we never had an incident. Glory be to God. And I told them, you know, I'm sorry that I couldn't prevent that trauma, but it's over now. It's over now. And I don't want you to carry that with you the rest of your life. And I'd venture to say my kids, they probably barely remember this story because they haven't carried it with them. You may be questioning God because he did not prevent it, but he never promised he wouldn't prevent it. In fact, that scripture reminds us, right? If you put it on the screen, the one we just read, he carried what? He carried, it was our pains that he carried. It was our pains that he carried. It never says not prevented. It didn't say he stopped. Hear me this morning. The miracle is not that he stopped the pain or prevented it in your life. The miracle is that he carried the pain. That's the miracle, that he carried your pain. And I'm sorry things have happened to you and that there's certain things you've had to carry, but you don't have to carry them anymore. It's over now. In fact, I wrote it this way. Jesus didn't die so that we couldn't feel pain. Jesus died so that we wouldn't carry pain. We wouldn't carry it. It's interesting to me that Jesus waited to die. Like, if you think about the story of the cross, you know, he hung there for hours in pain and agony. I mean, surely he could have just died and the sacrifice would have been made and it would have been over and we'd clap our hands and have this great story today. But the reality is it was almost as if Jesus was waiting for something to happen. If you look at John 19 again, verse 20, it says, now a vessel full of bitter wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with bitter wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it into his mouth. Verse 30 says, so when Jesus had received the bitter wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. I think he was waiting to drink the bitter wine to die. Why? Why? I think because Jesus was looking at our humanity saying, you know what? I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry that I couldn't prevent the pain, but here's what the cross does. It does not prevent the pain, but through Jesus' sacrifice, he prevents pain from making you bitter. He prevents the pain from turning you off to who he is. I'm not just going to take your pain, Jesus is saying, but I'm going to take the one thing that pain untreated leads to. I'm going to take the thing that unresolved pain leads to. I'm going to take the thing that unresolved, unreconciled pain leads to. And you know what it leads to in our lives? It leads to bitterness. Pastor Matt, if you could help me for just a moment. So Jesus waits. He waits. Ugh. He waits. And he doesn't die. Not until I take up, not just their sins, but I'm going to take up the bitterness that has the risk of setting in. And here's what he does. I'm going to use Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt is going to be our Jesus this morning simply because he looks like Jesus, right? So he's a great example of what Jesus looks like. No, joking. Right? And there's a lot of things that happen in our lives, right? So for example, like people get mad at you, right? Like raise your hand if you're mad at someone right now. I know. Some of you are like, I ain't saying nothing because the person's sitting next to me in this room who I'm mad at. I'll ask an easier question. How many of you have ever been mad at someone before? Come on. Maybe it's a spouse, employer. It would never be a pastor. Maybe it's a parent, a friend, whoever it might be. Listen to me, God's not going to prevent when people hurt you. You know that? But what he does is he makes sure that that pain that you've experienced doesn't make you bitter. Because the pain of someone hurting you can go to bitterness. And we use another word for that. We call it unforgiveness. And I would say something, just giving you as an example, unforgiveness is a weight in your life. Unforgiveness is a weight. It's at first, it's no big deal, right? Because you just walk around like, ah. Like this is a 20-pound weight. I can hand it to you right now and you'd be like, ah, it's no big deal. But if I said you got to hang on to it for 3 hours, how many know that changes how it feels? 20 pounds becomes pretty heavy. And this is what we do throughout life, though. We add weight things to our lives, things that we hang on to that become bitter, and we just allow them to hang on to us and stay with us. And you know what? It gets really, really heavy, almost unbearable. And so he's like, hey, you know what? But at first we think to ourselves, it's not a big deal. They shouldn't have done that to me. I'm mad at that person. You know, we live our whole life like this. And there's a problem of doing that, right? It doesn't bother you right now, but this weight, ugh, I'm even feeling it. Adds tension to every area of your life, right? The connection is already compromised, right? So what Jesus says is because of the cross, guess what? You don't have to carry this anymore. Because unforgiveness is what we really like to call unresolved justice. And what that means is, you know, we're just waiting for payment. I'm going to hang on to this until they get theirs, right? I'm going to hang on to this until they're punished for how I feel. I'm going to hang on to this until they pay for it. In fact, I'm going to hang on to this until they come to me, bow before me, and admit they're wrong. Not just admit it, but with tears flowing down their face, right? Like, it's got to be painful, right? Unresolved justice. But you know what is beautiful about the cross? Is you don't have to carry that anymore. Because the fact is, someone's already carrying it for you. Someone else has already paid that for you. You might say to yourself, somebody needs to pay for the hurt. Guess what? Someone did. You might say, someone needs to be vindicated for what happened to me. You know what? Someone did. It wasn't your sin, you know, that they took on the cross, right? You have to understand that Jesus didn't just die for you, but he died for your enemies as well. He died for all people. Unforgiveness, you know, isn't saying that it's okay for someone to treat you bad. It's not okay. It's not good for someone to hurt you. It's not okay. But forgiveness is not going to require justice for your sin any longer. God is going to give justice, and he did it through Jesus Christ. He's going to provide justice for you. He already did it. I wonder if you've ever made a decision that you've regretted. I wonder if you've ever made a decision that you regret. Like, I don't know, maybe it was a financial decision that you regretted. Or maybe it was a relational decision that you regret, right? Or maybe it's just, I don't know, something you said that you now regret. Here's the thing. It just got heavy. Everything just got heavy. Now you have to carry those regrets around with you. And I'm sorry that these things have happened to you, but you know what regret is? Here's what I wrote down. Regret is just a lie that if something looks bad, if something was bad or even is bad, that it's going to end bad. That's the lie about it. And you know what the cross helps us? It helps us not to carry this anymore. Because on the day that Jesus died, it looked bad. On the Jesus died, it was bad. On the day that Jesus died, it is bad. But we still call it Good Friday. Why? I can tell you why. Because the cross taught us something. The cross taught us that even dark seasons, even bad choices, and even mistakes, that God can turn it around for good. God can turn those things around for good. If he can take the cross and make it good, then he can take your mistakes and he can turn them around for good. He can take your regrets and your bad decisions and he can turn them around for good. The other thing I want you to, Pastor Matt's going to do the whole cross thing, right? You know, the other thing I want you to think about is this. The other thing I would say is how about the wounds we have, Pastor? What about the wounds that I still carry with me? The hurts that still reside in my life? Some of you have something from when you were younger. Some of you have something from your past. Maybe even something recently that you carry with you, these hurts. And what I notice about Jesus, if you look back to his life, he was rose from the dead. And days later, he meets with his disciples, these people that he hung out with. And they're all like freaking out. They're like, is this really Jesus? Is this really that person? And one smart disciple, you know, said, well, you know, if it's really you, God, wash your hands before you eat lunch. And so if it's really you, God, then let me put my hands in the holes in your, or put my fingers in the holes in your hand. Let me feel and see if this is really, really you. And I think about that story and it makes me have questions. Like, I have questions about this whole thing, you know, because I think about, like, here's this guy. Jesus went into a tomb. He was beaten. He had all these things happen to him. He goes in a tomb. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. Something, he was put all back together again, like his, the insides, his outside, everything was put together. His heart started working, his livers, his heart, everything just comes in order. But then I'm thinking to myself, well, did they run out of skin in heaven and he couldn't finish it? Like, why leave these holes in his hands? And sometimes I think about it, I think maybe that's just a reminder to you and I. Because when I was about 5 years old, I was on a what do you call those, training wheels in our neighborhood. And I remember these older kids, I wanted to play with them, and one of the older kids took my training wheels and he pushed it back like this. And if you know anything about training wheels, how many know they're not the most steady things in the world, right? And I remember tipping over and falling into a ditch where there was this aluminum culvert and literally scarring my leg all the way up to here. I have a major, major cut, sliced me open. I had blood everywhere. You could almost see the bone. They're taking me to my dad's taking me to the hospital and getting all stitched up and everything else. But you know what? 45 years later, guess what? I still have that scar. But Jesus didn't have scars. He had holes in his hands. What happened to him? It didn't scar him. I'm just saying in Christ, what happened, happened. But whatever happens in your life doesn't have to scar you. Whatever's happening doesn't have, it's over now. It's over now. God's got something for your life. He has plans for you. It's not over. The scars are over now, right? Those things are gone, but God's plan for you is not over. It's just beginning. You can go through battles and you can go through pain with no scars. You can live your life not in scars, but you can live your life in hope that God has hope for you. You can live your life that he's got plans for you. You can live your life that he's got destiny for you. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Your despair, your doubt, your pain, your fear, it's over now. It's done. God loves you. God forgives you. He's given you a future. He's given you a plan. It's not over. And I wrote it this way, just to walk away with this thought. Whatever you've been waiting for, you can start now. Whatever you've been waiting for, you can start now. When Jesus died on the cross, we talked about these three words, it is finished. In our language, or in English, it comes out to three words, but in the Greek, it's actually just one word. Jesus just said one word on the cross, and that one word was called tetelestai. Tetelestai, it's a Greek word. And you got to catch what it means, because if you love it, you catch the meaning. I know some of you are going to get tattoos this week with tetelestai on your arm, because it's just that cool. It's just that great, right? And it was used, this word tetelestai was used back in the ancient times when you bought something at a store in those days. They would give you a piece of paper that showed exactly what you bought, and the person you paid would stamp it with the word tetelestai. It was a financial term. And once it was stamped, it was over. Once it was stamped, there's your proof, the proof that you purchased it, it was done. So for us, in other words, right, it was an ancient receipt. It was an ancient receipt. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just say, it is finished. He said, it's finished and I got receipts. It is finished and I got receipts. You know, there was actually three times, major times you would use a teletestai back then, right? First of all, when you paid your taxes, you wanted a teletestai. Because the reason why is because the tax collectors of the days, they were shady. And you could go pay one tax collector on this side of town and then walk to the other side and another tax collector would grab you and say, you owe me taxes. That's how shady they were. And but if you didn't have your teletestai, if you didn't have your receipt, guess what? You had to pay double to those other taxes. It was important that you carried it. It had proof that you paid him again. I just believe this. I believe that God does things in your life, and there will always be other people, and there will always be other things, right, that will remind you of your mistakes, that will remind you that you are not worthy. And sometimes you just got to show people your receipt. You just got to show them your receipt. I'm sorry, hey, dude, paid. Sorry, you know, I got receipts. I got to tell a testi. It's been paid. The other time that you needed to show a receipt back in those days is that when you were a slave, but you were able to purchase or you were able to buy your freedom. The moment you became free, right, your owners would hand you a receipt and they would stamp, teletestai. And sometimes I just think this, sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we have a receipt. Sometimes you just got to remind yourself, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, that you were no longer a slave to sin anymore. And sometimes the old person likes to well up inside of you and say, hey, remember when? Or remember when life could be better this way? Remember the old times? Remember the things you used to do? Listen, can I just encourage you, don't let your flesh get to the place where you have, where you're not reminded that, hey, wait. I paid for that. That's been paid for. I have a teletestai. Sometimes you just have to remind your flesh, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm free. I've had fear. I've had addictions. I've been lying. I've had anxiety. But guess what? I got a receipt for that. I'm free. Don't let your flesh try to pay for something that's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. You're not a slave anymore. You got a receipt that you can walk into this room and you can walk into any place and you say, listen, I can meet with God. God can meet with me. The whole point of the cross was that now I can have relationship with God. It was paid so that I can know him and that I can live for him. The last one is this, and we'll bring it to 2023. The last teletestai is this. And I don't even know if I need to ask this question, but I'll just say this. How many have ever shopped at Costco? One of you, okay? I thought Montana like loved Costco, but anyway. But you go to Costco, right? You shop, you get all excited, right? You get your stuff, you have everything. You know, you've checked out, you get the boxes of whatever their boxes are to put your stuff in. And you know, you're ready to go home. You're excited about it. You're ready to get home and eat that big bag of egg rolls that you bought and the new TV and set it up. And you're ready to do all these things. And right before you try and leave, the person says, excuse me, sir, can I see your receipt? Can I see your receipt? And that man and that woman, they're gonna do whatever they can in their power to try to keep in the store what you paid for if you don't have a receipt. Listen, I don't think the devil minds if you're blessed here today. I don't think he minds if you're blessed as long as you do it here. I don't think the enemy minds if you worship God as long as you worship here. I don't think he minds if you say, I'm free, as long as you're only free here. What he does not want is you to take your receipt home with you. What he does not want is you to live a life that says, Jesus purchased something for me, right? And sometimes we just got to look the enemy and look the world in the face and say, hey, I got a receipt for that. Jesus paid my debt. I have a receipt. I got a receipt, and I'm going to take my blessings home with me. I'm going to take Jesus home with me. I'm going to take my healing home with me. I'm going to take my breakthrough home with me. Everywhere I go, I'm taking Jesus with me. because he paid for it. And I'm allowed to do that. All this was bought on a cross. All this freedom that I have, this teletestai was paid for on a cross. And now I can take it with me wherever I go. I just want to encourage you as we close this morning. I want you to carry it with you. Carry the knowledge and the freedom that, like, you don't have to live an unfinished life. God has finished it for you. You can have freedom. You can have hope. You can have purpose. You can have destiny. Don't leave it here. Take it with you. Take it with you. Take the receipt with you. Can I just say this, and we're going to close in prayer and just worship together. But listen, can I encourage you, live out the purpose, because every one of you have purpose. It's not over. Jesus got more for you, more for your life. All you got to do is say, hey, listen, it's been paid for. I'm good. I'm good. I can overcome. I can be free. I don't have to live this way anymore. I can understand what it's like to have all my worries taken care of. I can know what it's like to say, hey, I don't have to do life alone. I've got a God who wants to do life with me. I got a receipt for that. And so, Father, I just praise you right now. We worship you in this place. Thank you for Easter Sunday. Thank you that we can come together in this place and we can worship you and we can lift you up, God. And I thank you more than anything else that we can have just this total hope and freedom that no matter what we face, God, you carry our pain. You carry all of our unfulfilled dreams. You carry all of our hurts and our pains. Lord, you carry our bitterness. You carry all those things. Lord, you carry our past and you even carry our future. We can put all our hopes in that. And we can walk around with that teletestai that says, it is paid for. I have a receipt for that. I have a receipt for my pain. I have a receipt for my sin. I have a receipt for my doubt and my anxiety and my worries. I have a receipt for my failures. I have a receipt for my regret. And it all goes back to Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And we are just thankful for that. And as we're just praying this morning, maybe just, if you don't mind, just closing your eyes and just bowing your heads with me for a moment, I want to give you this opportunity to grab your teletestai. I want to give you an opportunity to grab your receipt before you leave the doors today. If you're here this morning and you just say, hey, listen, I need that receipt. I need to be finished this morning. I just live life that's kind of unfinished. You want God to finish and complete your life. Maybe you've gone through pain and difficulties and you know the answer is Jesus. We're not going to embarrass you in our church, man. We're right there where you're at. No one's looking around. Just a moment between you and God. But I want to pray for you. And if you just say, hey, listen, Pastor, I want a finished life. I want my teletesta. I want my receipt that says, listen, my life has been paid for. If that's you this morning, you want to just slip in your hand and put it back down. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. Anyone else I can pray for? This is your opportunity. Thank you. Anyone else, real quick, before I pray? Before I pray. This is your opportunity. Don't miss it. Great opportunity. It's freedom in prayer, freedom in this receipt. Anyone else? So, Lord, right now, there's people throughout this room who say, hey, I want my life to be finished. And not just finished in worldly terms, but spiritual terms. God, I want you to complete me. I want you to come into my life. I want to have that hope. I want to have that peace of knowing you. I want that receipt, that teletestai, that when everything comes wrong in my life, I can just hold it up to God and say, hey, you paid for this. You paid for my life. You paid for my pain. You paid for my doubt. You paid for my regrets. I give it to you, God. Here's my receipt. People need that today. It's not that life will be perfect. It's not that we'll prevent everything. That we can have hope in a God who's there with us. That we don't have to walk through life alone. We have a God who walks with us. So we thank you for that. I pray for those in the room today. If you raised your hand or you didn't raise your hand and you just need Jesus in your life, it's just simple saying, Father, would you come into my life? Would you forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you? I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in the cross. Come into my life. It's just that simple this morning. So, Lord, I pray over your church today. I thank you for Easter Sunday and everyone who's here. took time out of their schedules and time with family to say, hey, let's make this a priority today. Lord, I know you'll honor people in here that have made today a priority. May you continue to allow it to be a priority in their lives. So we love you. We thank you for the church and all that you're doing. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the opportunity we get to serve him and worship him. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to close in a worship song. And I want to thank you for joining with us this morning. We had a lot of places you could choose from if you're a visitor, but you chose to be here. And we just believe that's not by accident. We pray for every church in town who's proclaiming Jesus. But we know that it's not accident that you're here today, but that God divinely appointed for you, whether this is your home church or whether you're visiting with us this morning. We just want you to know we're here to serve you. We love our community. We love our church. We want to come alongside you in any way we can. So will you join me as we just worship the Lord together?
Amen. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing
serve a risen Savior today. Come on, let's just lift up the name of Jesus. Go ahead in your own way. Just lift your hands up, clap your hands, lift up a shout, whatever it is. We celebrate victory today. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that our songs, our prayers, our praises, they don't fall on deaf ears, that you hear all of them because you are alive and you are here with us. Lord, I just pray for the rest of the day and the rest of the week and the rest of our lives that we would keep that in mind, that you are always with us. Lord, I bless your church. I thank every single person that chose to be here with us today. I pray a blessing on them. And whatever they do, God, that you're there with them, that they feel your presence. Lord, if they've made a decision to turn to you today, God, we bless them and we just celebrate that together. Lord, I'm going to go ahead and bless the food that everyone's going to go home and eat or out to eat. And God, please just return all of us safely here next week in the morning so we can praise you all over again. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. And everybody said, amen. Thank you for coming and celebrating Easter with us. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.